The Zodomigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning out there, boys and girls. Friday, February 23rd, 2018. Where the heck has this year gone? It's going to be March here in about a week, which is okay here because I tell everybody March, April, May, man. When the names of those months get shorter, the weather gets nicer here in Ohio. And, you know, our buddy Jim Kraft, some of you know Jim. I know Jim's probably listening out there. You know, they're having terrible floods down on the Ohio River. I don't know if you guys are following that at all. That's down where Jim lives. And they've had a lot of snow and rain and everything up by the Pittsburgh area, and everything flows down into the Ohio River. So pray that everything's okay down there with Jim as all that melt's taking place. And we got Russ with us today. Before we get it, hey, Jared, throw it out there real quick, if you can, bud. The Occupied Till He Comes event in Akron, Ohio. I don't know if I said this yesterday. I want to make sure I say it again today. For those of you who have one foot in the world, which I do sometimes, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio. So when we're having this Hear the Watchman conference, 3 or 4 miles down the road, maybe a little bit more, but not much more than that, is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And if you're a football fan and you want to kill two birds with one stone, come to here, come to Occupy Till I Come conference, April 20, 21, and 22. And then stay an extra day or come a day early, go see the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because it's something to see if you're a football fanatic, which I used to be. Luckily, got my mind right, and now pursue a little bit more meaningful subjects than that. We're honored to have Russ with us. He's going to be with us at Occupy Conference. Actually, going to be with us at Hear the Watchman down in Dallas as well. And I credit Russ with really opening my eyes up to a lot of the stuff that's going on. I saw last night, Russ, that Craig the Sawman Sawyer made it almost like a citizen's arrest. I don't know if you saw that or not, Jared. I sent you that in this morning, Jared, in our links. Just pull that up there real quickly. For those of you who don't know, Russ deals with, for lack of a better term, demonic, satanic ritual abuse. Sex trafficking is all involved with all that stuff. All this pedophilia stuff that we hear about and we don't want to believe is going on. Russ says, hey, oh, yeah, that's been going on. In fact, he's involved with it. And I don't know, Jared, do you have it up there on the screen? Let me put my glasses on here again so I can see it. If you do, I thought it was really, really pretty amazing. There he is. Okay. Up on the screen, Russ, I don't know if you can see that. Craig Sawman Sawyer. These are veterans for, what's the name of them? Veterans for Child Rescue. They arrested 7 people out in Utah. Scroll down through it, Jared. We can see their names and their faces and everything. So we understand this is very real. That's Craig Sawman Sawyer. And he's the guy who's getting these veterans out and said, we're going to stop this pedophilia that's going on. Scroll on down a little bit more there, Jared, if you will. And you're going to show you the guys they've arrested. There's arresting a guy. This guy's an army recruiter. Go on down, Jared. So we'll just go quickly because I want to get Russ in here. They're called the Utah 7. So I just want to, before Russ gets into this, I want you guys to know this stuff is real, okay? This pedophilia, this satanic ritual abuse, these kids are being programmed perhaps to go into schools and shoot people. This stuff's real. Here's one of the guys. He's one kind of commit rape. Boy, there's the charges with him. Here's another guy in Jerome, Idaho. A conspiracy to do something going down through him, Jared. I just want people, these are real people, and this is actually happening. Another guy, here's Floyd Jennings, 71, a grandpa out there messing around. What's he charged with, Jared? It's right under his name there. 2 counts of conspiracy to commit child rape. Another guy from Cedar City, Utah. So this stuff is real, okay, folks? This is going on. Despite what they're telling you or what they're not telling you about it, this stuff is real. And so, Russ, I'm going to bring you in with that tip-off to talk about this, Russ, and the satanic side of this child abuse and this rape culture and this demonic blood sacrifice stuff that really and truly is going to welcome Russ to pass the salt. There's a good tip off for you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much, Dave. Good to see you. Going to be good to see you down the road here in Dallas and also here in my backyard in Canton. Good news is Craig Troy is coming here. We're going to meet up with him. We're going to connect with his filming. And they're bringing their film crew here to add into the entire thing, the ritual satanic side. The ritual satanic side on a global scale, we're talking 100 million. We're talking since the 1950s. We've been working with the ritually abused since 1980s. So,
hey, Russ, let me stop you a second. Yes. This just ain't horny guys looking after little girls, is it, brother?
No. There's a lot of those. I mean, there's a lot of those in sex trafficking, which is 27 million worldwide. We run into that constantly. I mean, satanic ritual abuse is also sex trafficking. They do the same things, but they're sex satanic rituals. And that's the side that involves all the demonic side, blood sacrifices, the deaths and things like that. That's what we've engaged for years and years. Turn state's evidence. You know, we do go after the perpetrators to try to turn them over and to engage them in whatever ways. We've worked with victims for 35 years plus. But in satanic ritual abuse, it involves the total thing. It involves their mind, their soul, their will. They're in cages just like sex trafficking. They are ritually abused. They are split. There's mind control involved that we have to deal with. And then that connects with, and we've told for the last decade, we told a lot of the sex trafficking, the safe houses, we've told them for years that they will begin to get kids coming and others coming that have the satanic side, that have the multiplicity side, because there's, you know, when they go in to get them many times, they just get kids out. And, so we have a lot of, sex trafficking safe houses that are now experiencing getting kids and young, like 12, 15, 17 year olds even, that have all the satanic stuff, the demonic side. And that's a little different. You can't safe house them the same way when you extract them from one place to another. It's a much more complicated, because you have coven members that will come after them. You have demonization to deal with. You have the entire issue of program personalities. That's where we get into program shooters and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we focus in. We've kind of specialized in for years and years and written about and talked about. But there's no question the two connect. The individuals that just simply want the sex side, a lot of what happens in the satanic ritual abuse is that the controllers there will sell out the kids with the trigger phrases that will get a hold of inside of the kids and younger teenage girls. They have personalities that are only trained and programmed for sex. They will, you know, sell those trigger phrases and send the girls places.
Like a Pavlov's dog type thing, huh, Russ?
There's no question about that. That's exactly in a really controlling sense. If you think in terms of a hypnotist hypnotizing people, or even in the sex trafficking industry, they now use hypno programming. Like you think in terms of a post-hypnotic suggestion. So if they can beat the girls down, which they do, and really subjugate them in every single way, some of them have been found to use hypnotic in a way of controlling them. It's unbelievable. Listen, we should probably talk about the perpetrators that do this, because you're talking about some of those wicked, you know, vile individuals. You know,
let me stop you right there, Russ. How does that happen? I mean, we talk about the, you know, the spiritual realm, demonic forces. What takes a man over the edge to maybe just dabbling a little bit into porn? We know that pornography in particular has a voracious appetite. We know that when you look at porn, it's just the desire to do it more and more. How does a guy go from something that seems to be innocent, although that's not innocent? What happens, Russ?
Well, a lot of it deals with, you know, when you understand the entire, we did a big series on this. Let's remember, God created sex to be a good thing. And here's how it works. When man and woman see each other, then they, you know, join together to be married. Sexual, because the chemistry that's involved, the Hebrew word, when Adam knew his wife Eve, and they bore a son, referring to the sexual act. That's yada. That's meaning that the sexual act, there's a knowing, there's a joining, and now you can, now we understand there's a chemical imprint. So when a man and a woman get together, and all the sexual stuff that occurs, and all the thing all the way to culmination, an imprint is built. They're printed. The sexual chemistry, the sexual arousal, there's an imprint. So when you have people who've been sexually abused, or you have people that are into bizarre sexual practices, the fact is, becomes an addiction. It's an addiction. It is driven. It is driven chemically inside. It is driven by the radical evil that's inside. Fallen mankind. Look at Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 18 on down. I mean, the ability of the sin nature, the core of that, blackened heart, it can become blacker and darker and kill and devise ways, invent ways of doing evil. So think in terms of the porn industry, multi-billion dollar industry, the lives that are taken, and the exploitation of the entire sexual gift of God turns it into something addictive, radically evil. Some people will do anything for it. So in the world of pedophilia, you've got individuals that are sick in the sense that they get off with kids. You've got necrophilia. They get off with dead corpses. You've got ritual, satanic ritual, in which demonic presence and spirits are involved in the sexuality. It all heightens the addiction. It all heightens the dirtiness of it.
Are these spirits?
Yeah, I believe that there is. There's no question. Well, just in the sinful heart of man, like when Cain killed Abel, just out of the radically fallen heart, he went and God engaged him and warned him, but he did it anyway. He slew his brother. He buried his brother. First, slaughter, murder in human history. So that happens just with individuals out of the evil in that's, we're fallen, we're broken, we're the sin nature is real. Romans 8 says that sin nature inside, it's called the sarx. It is hostile to God. It doesn't want to submit to God, nor can it do so. Only in salvation, when that's broken, can we turn to God and be set free, be delivered from its power and forgiven when Jesus comes in. So when people get into sex addictions, I don't care if that's, adultery, sex before, all the meat markets out there and all that kind of stuff. But in the child level of it, the imprint of the sexual contact, many, many pedophiles are kids that have been sexually aroused and used. They're just repeating the patterns. Most pedophiles are just repeating the patterns and deepening the patterns. They truly, because of the radical evil, they seemingly can't control it. And we know this. When they go so far, it's kind of like Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. When they go so far, they seem to be, it seems as though they can't get out of it. The recidivism rate of putting away child pedophiles and then seeing them come back out is astounding. That's why they're keeping many of them in there for life, because they're altered to the point they can't stop. They don't stop. And that's the sad thing. And look at the last 30 years. Look at since the 60s, the big sexual revolution. Look what it's turned into. That world has turned into a sexual degradation, and there's great danger. So we need to mention, on the one side, it's good. God created what's good. Sin and Satan himself have brought a perversion and an addiction, and people will kill for it.
So here's what I'm trying to, I guess this is what I'm digging at, Russ. Hey folks, if you want to you want to check in here, just unmute yourself and I'll see you. Russ, be glad to take any questions that you have. I guess what I'm getting at, Russ, when a guy, how does a guy get deeply involved with this? Is it you talk about satanic ritual abuse. Does a guy who gets involved with this, is he satanic first or is he sexually charged first? Which is the chicken and which is the egg? Does a guy get involved in pornography and then all of a sudden, as we know, it leads you down a deeper and deeper path? Does he then run into the Satanism when he gets down there? Because the Satanism certainly is about the blood sacrifice involved with it. And Russ, that's quite a leap from just molesting a kid to blood sacrifice. How does that happen?
Well, that, I mean, you can go from the degradation, keep going downwards, all of the different kinds of perversion. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And yeah, you can get into popular Satanism. Popular Satanism has sex rituals. And there's a great motivation on their part to join the dark side of sin and its nature with the satanic side. And again, whether it's tantra sex, Crowley's, Aleister Crowley's sex magic, on the popular side, they add the demonic side, which then brings a deeper, I mean, it opens the door to possession. It opens the door to real demons. But when you talk about satanic ritual abuse, now that's something really, that begins in childhood. Everybody involved there, it's a generational issue. They go from generation to generation. So when I was in the early 80s dealing with folks that are now in their 60s, their perpetrators, I mean, it all began as a child. There's everyone in the world of satanic ritual abuse. It involves splitting personality, programming, demonizing that personality, including creating personalities just for perverted sex. Now, here's what everybody's going to have to deal with. Almost all satanic ritually abused kids, when they're kids on, are involved in sex, demonic transfer, demonized sexuality, demons, sex with entire covens, the transfer of demons through the sexual act into the to the kids for the sake of control, because the motivation is, like in the marriage to the beast ritual at 6 years old, the goal is to marry the girl being sexually abused and used by the coven, particularly the priest. The priest is to have demons. The demons are then to transfer in the sexual act. That means they're going to control her, that they're going to raise her to be a bride of Satan, being committed to Satan, chosen for Satan. So when you talk about a, like if you was to meet a 21-year-old satanic ritually abused person today, that's third generation. That's a person who's been through probably hundreds of satanic rituals, including hundreds of the sex rituals. Animals, the dead, every kind, because their goal is not only just the sexual addiction and the sexual transference of demons. Their goal is to purposely blaspheme God in the concept of a sex ritual. That's part of the motivation behind satanic ritual.
So Russ, what's the end game for these satanically ritually abused? They were kids. They come up, they become adults, they participate in it, maybe themselves. What's the end game for them? Now, I mean, I understand salvation. I get it. Yep. But what's at the end of, in their mind, what's at the end of this thing?
Their mind is to give, to raise them counterfeit to real believers, counterfeit to real salvation. That's why they're called satanic chosen ones. Their goal is to so alter them, so change them, so transmute them. It's kind of like a counterfeit salvation in which they have, we have the Spirit of God. We're connected to God. They have demons, and they're connected to Satan. And they're being trained. Sex is a part of it, but the end game for satanic ritual abuse, servants of Satan, ultimately, that can be used in being sent to churches to corrupt pastors because they have programmed sex parts that will seek to bring down. Think in terms of PTL. It is our belief that the person sent in to engage Jim Baker way back there was a satanic ritually abused, using the trained sexual parts to go in to compromise. So you've got a lot of churches since the 70s. We've tracked this for years. You've got a lot of churches where satanic ritually abused who are being controlled by coven members, handlers, whatever you want to call it, sent in purposely not only to release demons, to engage, to cause harm to the church in a spiritual way, but they will target pastors, leaders, and whoever else and try to compromise them. Come in.
Are these agents aware that's what they're doing, Russ?
I believe over the years, yes, to some of it. Some of them are very sophisticated in their, because they're there to serve Satan. They're there as a satanic chosen one. They've been raised for that. So at some point in that whole development, they begin to choose. Just like a kid that's been used sexually by like a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, a lot of sexually abused individuals, especially guys, that been used sexually over and over and over And again, with even without Satanism, somewhere they if they don't get help, they begin to perpetrate the same pattern. The same pattern.
We have in our queue here a guy's become a good friend of us, David Arthur. He's out in Maine, and he's a former tranny. He's a former all these things, Russ.
Yeah.
A former all these things. And David, I just want to click on you right now, and I'm sure that as you've listened to this, that maybe you have a comment or a question that you would ask Russ that would bring a little bit of light to this. Have you seen this kind of stuff going on, David?
I have. Wow. This is really, like, hitting me hard. There's a lot of things that I've only spoken about in some groups. And how it all happens, you know, of course, I was a victim. I became a victimizer. I seduced and lured young boys into that movement. But I saw that it could get worse. I saw it getting worse. I saw where 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old boys no longer gave me the rush, and I could actually see in my head me going darker and deeper, which is what I just believe that it's just the reason that the Lord said, you know what, we got to do something. And that's why I went to prison. And that's when I met the correctional officer. And although I got out and returned back to my ways, it was different. You know,
so David, you were never really sexually, ritually. There was never really a demonic aspect. You weren't programmed or conditioned. This can happen. Guys can fall into this kind of lifestyle without being ritually abused. It's just a demonic realm, right, Russ?
Yeah, it's the core of the sin nature. I mean, the sin nature drives. Look at Romans 8 or chapter 1, verse 18 on down. Because of that sin nature, suppressing truth, and then it spirals down. You can get worse and worse and worse and worse, and it can lead you into and then it brings an alteration of personality. It brings an alteration in our physiology. It brings a deep dark. Look at it talks about a darkening of the conscience, futility of the thinking. It changes everything. A person starts thinking dark. That's why it leads people to invent ways of doing evil. They become creative in the way they, you know, go after kids and do things with kids and draw kids in. So that if a kid is drawn into that, because the problem is, sex feels good. Even those who are in bestiality, necrophilia, all that kind of stuff, they're manipulating what God created for pleasure and good. That happens even in 8, 9, 10, and 12-year-old girls and boys, so that the weirdness is it feels good, but it's not right. It's secretive or threatened. The manipulation goes on and on and on and on until you begin to feel like, you know, you begin to realize this is not right, but then you get into it deeper. You go to the meetings. You go to orgies. It just keeps going. It becomes the pattern, and that chemical imprint becomes the drive, other than it being broken. I believe God breaks all kinds, any kind of sin. No sin shall be your master when you come to Christ. That opens the door, though, because some of the sex parties and some of the sex, you know, orgy issues, it moves into. They don't have to, but I mean, not all of them, but they can open up to the dark side. Old Testament is filled with Baal, sex ritual, blood ritual, child human sacrifice ritual. It's all connected in that Old Testament. But you don't have to have the demons to become that degraded and used and abused.
I'm thinking, Russ, about the crazy things. I'm looking back at my own life now. The crazy things I did that I would never done had I not been drinking. I was never a drug user. But the crazy things people would not have done had they not been using dope or drugs or whatever. So it's clear that for some of these, this is nothing more than a gateway. The alcohol, people say, you get a few beers in you, you don't have any conscience. That's really true, isn't it, Russ?
I really believe it is. I mean, I lived that world. You know, I was, you know, acid head, drug head, bar fighting crazy, you know. So you do. all that's there. All of that stuff is there. And in your mind back in those high school days, you know, just go after a girl or whatever it may be. You know, certain things are wrong, but you go after things, until you're until there's an, I mean, when I got saved, I knew that was all wrong, but you live in it. When you have that sin, when you're darkened in your heart, you live in that kind of stuff. And the danger is it can get deeper and darker and drive people. So that's part of the issue. It doesn't make any difference. You think in terms of the alcohol, think in terms of the certain drugs, think in terms of Molly and ecstasy and rupees and certain drugs that are used, even with children, to make them pliable and get them involved. Think of some of the, and I'm sure David can mention, we can talk about individuals that have come out of all those kind of worlds. Many times particular drugs are used just to go wild, just to do anything. On a sexual level.
Let me ask what is the obvious question, but it's a question that's begging to be asked. Where are they finding these kids to ritually abuse them, Russ?
Well, now this goes back to the late 40s in Lebensborn, Germany, the goal of a master race. So when you track this backwards, and we've been to Germany, we've been tracking it for years. Remember, in the United States, there's 10 million or more victims, first generation.
Unbelievable.
So if you have kids that are being brought in, that are being selectively bred and being brought into the satan, the real underground, it's called the Ancient Brotherhood, to where the mind is being snapped and altered and programming and demonization and conditioning and rituals over and over and deeper and more. Well, by the time they get 20 and 30, if you do not break in, here's exactly what occurs. If there's no breaking in or setting them free or intervention, their kids will be the same thing. If nobody breaks into the second generation, their kids will be the same thing. I've got now folks that are late 60s, then their kids second generation, then the grandkids and the great grand. We got 8-year-olds that have programming. And if you meet a kid in I don't care if it's a psych ward or if you meet them in a rescue operation on this kind of thing, if they're satanic, ritually abused, they have other personalities. They will have demonization. The psych wards, they don't know what to do with them. But there's hundreds of thousands of them without intervention because there's sexual exploitation in the biggest and broadest ways. There's mind control that is conditioned. There's demonization that darkens them, subjugates them. There's levels of fear and threat. You'll be killed. You'll be slaughtered. They've seen every satanic ritually abused person have seen people killed, sacrificed, scream, blood. They've drunk blood. You got to understand how dark. This is very dark stuff they're being raised in, as dark as the Baal worship of the Old Testament.
So I'm going to open it up. I know these guys got some questions. So if I understand it, Russ, the sex aspect of it isn't the end game. It's the vehicle. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, yeah. And even in the satanic ritual abuse side, and specifically in the sex trafficking is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Wow.
You've got to understand how outraged we have a right to feel outraged. I mean, Jesus went inside the temple and cleared the temple. Zeal for the house of God consumed him. So I think that it's okay for us as believers to have an outrage over this and go after it, because you've got individuals, think in terms of the drug lords in Mexico that now ship 200 people that have been subjugated, drugs, beatings, sexual stuff in semis, because they're making money. The sex pimps are making money. And they're selling the sex pimps and the sex drug, you know, lords, they're selling the kids as a commodity, like drugs, because there are people out there that are addicted and they want it, and that's why they'll risk everything. They'll risk the future of their lives because they're so addicted to this. It's a sin addiction. It's a perversion. It involves a chemical addiction. It can involve spiritual, you know, the dark sides, at the very least, oppression, attachment, if not possession down the road. It's a war right now.
I'm watching here in the queue. If you got a question for us, just go ahead and unmute yourself and I'll be able to see it and bring it in. Robert, I see you popped up there. What's up, bud? Good to hear you, Rob.
Thank you, Coach and Russ. The end game. Then what do we need to do as believers? Do you need 10, 50 guys with baseball bats to come with you and attack their hive and beat their brains to mush?
Good question, Robert.
Well, I guess what I'll do is I'll leak. Can we just talk very plain here?
Yes.
On the field, over the years, I'm a believer in Jesus. I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. But I will. When we have kids in cages, when I see what's been done, the perpetrators that we're after right now, I made a phone call with one of the feds the other day.
They're animals.
Well, and some of them, there's like a real reveling. They revel in it. There's some that don't want to change. There's some that will fight you. There are some that will want to harm you. You know, we've gone to breach places, going to places. You know, you might have to step over the line and you know, there's times we could have been charged with trespass on the properties and things like that. But you come to the point where I've told this to, because all the feds will tell me this. Russ, if you find a kid in a cage, or if you got, you know, kids in a basement somewhere, just call us. We'll get there. My response is always, we're going to go in and we'll call you as soon as we get the kids out.
Amen. Amen.
If it comes to the perpetrators, this is a little bit different for some folks. All of our folks carry. We're willing to do whatever it takes at times.
Amen. That's why I like you, baby buddy. That's why I like you. Self-defense and defense of the innocent is a Christian value.
Sure. Look what Jesus said. It'd be better for a millstone to be tied around their neck, thrown into the deepest sea. You understand how heavy, how outraged heaven is, Jesus himself. For him to say concerning the kids, it'd be better for the perpetrator to have a millstone tied around, thrown to the deepest sea, than to face him. Because there's a payday someday. A lot of victims, most of the victims we've had, have not gotten justice. Mm-hmm. Most of the perpetrators are not caught. That's why there's millions of human trafficking and millions in ritual abuse trafficking. Most of the perpetrators are not caught. So for one thing for them is this: seek all the healing, get all the healing, turn to Jesus, let him restore everything, let him give you everything. Second, become outraged about it yourself, become a fighter. I'm going to say this. I believe, like somebody mentioned, you need baseball bats. Listen, I believe, like you saw us in Dallas, last year in Dallas, we called on vets and everybody else. That's when I met Craig back then, back in last Dallas. Uh-huh. We sat down and talked about this. So we're going to work a little bit together on some stuff. But the truth is, number one, become extremely aware of it. Number two, become God-given outraged. I mean, just become outraged at the ugliness and viciousness and what they're doing to kids. Because while we're here talking, millions, many in cages, many tied down to beds, many of this coming weekend is a blood ritual, sex rituals and blood rituals this weekend. 1 year ago, Coach, I got an email on my phone. I looked at it in the morning. It came from your city. Of a boy with a green shirt in a cage. This coming weekend marks 1 year that we've been trying to find him. Through missing exploited children, through the dark web, we have people working on that. We have the feds looking it up. It's that picture of little boys on our slide presentation. It's on our SIU crime site. That little boy, we were just down in your area, knocking on the door of the house where it's claimed the cage was. The boy was sexually abused. The person giving the eyewitness implicates themselves in 13 or 14 others in the sexual abuse, the cutting up of the child, the cannibalism, the placing of the – listen, this is gruesome. And we have crime scene slides from law enforcement I can't even show you. We couldn't put on the air right here. What they do is, it's unbelievable. to see them. I don't know how they can think and they see a kid crying or whatever or doing what they, I can't fathom that. The darkness of sin, you know, and or the demonic side, it's just, so we need to understand there's a war and that believers are soldiers and that we gotta get up and there's too many, pacified spectator believers. There's millions of believers that could be changed from the weaknesses and the spectatorship and the cowardice that they've been led into in the last 30 years in the so-called church, and they can become the warriors out on the street. That's what we're looking for.
It's the craziness of us, by the way. The average person talking about what you were just talking about, Russ, there would be people in the church who would say, don't hit that guy with a baseball bat, get him saved. That would be their approach, right?
Here's our approach. Do whatever it takes to bring them down. If you have, you know, when we've had to physically bring down guys with knives in their hands, and you know, there's been some battles. There's times that we did pull weapons. When the Guatemalans came to my house to steal my daughter, you better believe I pulled a weapon, and you better believe I would have used it. Now, listen, here's how we look at it, and here's how we laugh with some of the officers we know, deputy sheriffs. Either way, if they're perpetrators, they're going to jail. Preach the gospel there. You know, I could sit in the back of a police car and preach the gospel to a guy and say, don't you realize, and just lay it on them afterwards. But if I have to do something to bring them down, to hold them until officers get there, to make sure he goes, to turn state's evidence, to get threatened, get my life threatened by some of them, as we've had in the past, so what? They're going to hear the gospel in jail. They're going to get meals in jail. They got to get off the street, though. They got to get out of the world.
Your first obligation is to pure and undefiled religion before God is to rescue the orphans and widows and orphans in their time of need. That comes before salvation for the guy who's doing it. We've got it so backwards. Pastor Dale, come on and jump in here.
Yes.
Dale, amen, down brother. In New Orleans down there, man, down where all that dark stuff is. Go ahead.
Yeah, brother, you know that's true. Russ, first off, going back to the very scripture, what you just said earlier, Jesus said it'd be better for you to have a millstone wrapped around your neck. He didn't say, first you need to get saved, and then we'll wrap the millstone around your neck. He said, just wrap the millstone around your neck. Now, this is, you know, it's a very sad situation. When I was with the sheriff's office, we actually had teams in there that dealt with that stuff, even here at the local level. But this is a multifaceted business, because not only is the satanic ritual and child sacrifice and those things going on, I'm also understanding that there's the ties to organ harvesting of these children, that they're treated and kept as like animals for the purpose. And then I would think, because it's a business mentality for some of these people, oh, this makes more money through this. But also, the fact is that in order to have something for sale out there, you have to have a demand. And most of the demand for this sick demonic stuff, am I wrong in saying that majority of the customers are not only from America, but they're elitisms. This is why the political people don't get involved in it, because many of them are involved in it.
Yeah, good question, Dale.
Yeah. And the answer is, you're absolutely correct. I mean, and again, human trafficking is worldwide. Look at Brussels. Look at Belgium. Look at Belgium, where Marc Dutroux, the case, little girls killed, little girls died, sexual abuse, satanic abuse. When 300,000 Belgians came out of the capital, they were ready to turn their country upside down, because people in their parliaments, people high up in the government, they all knew that it was being covered up. This is true in England all over the place. It's true here also. So in the pedophile rings, you're going to find elites and people. They've been to parties. They've been to sex parties. If you ever listen to the stories of the Son of Sam at Uttermeyer Park in New York, Mari Terry, who wrote The Ultimate Evil, David Berkowitz talks about the elite sex parties, the trafficking. That's true down in Mexico at Matamoros, when they stole Mark Kilroy and brought him over, the satanic side, powers, sexual abuse, torture. All of that is absolutely true. Here's what we have to think of. Believers really have to do what Jesus said. Deny yourself. You can't really be a disciple or a good one deny yourself, take up the cross to follow him. In the book of Hebrews, it says by faith that when they launched out in faith, they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they routed foreign armies. Coach, you and I know this principle. Let's recruit thousands. Let's make them powerful believers. Preach Jesus to everybody.
Amen.
Bring people down. Go into basements. Go into the bars. Go infiltrate that side. Let's go after it. Let's create a people of God so filled with the Spirit of God, the power of God, and His righteousness, to go after this. I have no problem. I've preached in the jails. I've preached and visited those who are offenders, those who are involved with murder. I've been to the jails for all that stuff. I've preached in the jails. I have no problem. Praise God. The gospel is going to be unleashed there. They're going to hear things there. Okay. But nevertheless, as we're here, this is a global phenomenon. Look at the stats when it comes to satanic or to just human trafficking. You can look in Thailand. You can look in Asia. You've got them mixing and matching. They're sending them everywhere. If they abduct a child, we got a picture from Oregon a couple of years ago. A college student sent us a picture of a little girl in a cage. We sent it to Missing Exploited Children. They believed it was real. They called the feds. Feds came to my house to confiscate the stuff. They went after and arrested the college student in Oregon. We flew to Oregon to follow up on the case to see if we could. We never found the girl. That's what we have to be. I don't mind burdens. Get up in the middle of the night, have to pray, have to break your heart. If we as believers can't cry, be outraged, wow, and do the real stuff, then I just believe we're cowards and we abdicate all that could be done. We're so self-centered, as believers.
Yeah.
More blessing, more things, more whatever, prosper. We're so into whatever else. Give up your life, lose your life, don't fear death, go fight like a real believer, like a Nehemiah, like a Daniel, go fight. For the souls of men, and in the context of that, where there's radical evil, if it's demonic stuff, you have authority, go tackle it, go after it. They should run. The righteous are as bold as a lion, the wicked should be fleeing. That's the
picture. You must be listening to my show every day, brother. You're singing my song, buddy. I'm singing. You're singing my song. Hey, anybody want to jump in here and ask Russ something?
Hey, Russ has the same spirit as you do, Coach. That's all.
He sure does.
Same Lord.
Russ, Kevin, come on in.
I've stumbled across some videos that talk about adrenochrome.
Kevin is in Joplin, Missouri, Russ, just so you know. Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
I want to expert. Do these elite seek out adrenochrome? Is it real? And if so, does the government endorse, or does the government, parts of the government like the CIA, do they help promote this stuff?
Well, that's when, that's how dark it can go. Listen, when we think in terms of people talk about the deep state, here's society. Then there's this deep state we talk about. And even in the deep state, that's where the pedophile rings. That's where there are the elite. But let's take it one step below that, where the satanic and dark side is. They're after every possible alteration. They're after anything that's a commodity. They're after anything that can be extracted from a human life and be received and injected and taken into them to get more life, to get more prolonged life. They're doing anything. So I don't have any personal verification. We always like verification on our side of the fence. But when we hear about stuff, we go after things. But what we have found along the years, what we've talked about, anything goes, and anything that is a commodity to them. Think in terms of Bohemian Grove. Before it ever came out on the web, before the Alex Jones video ever came out, we had a CIA Fort Bragg Psy Warrior that came to my office, drew out pages, and I still have them, pages of all Bohemian Grove. They gave me a necklace with an owl on it. They talked about being a monarch. They talked about the sexual things, the things that they were after. They talked about the political, military, the economic elite from around the world that were drawn to Bohemian Grove. Mm-hmm. Who has the power to bring those world leaders in? It's not the world leaders are the ones that are seduced, and the perverts, and the and that. But who had who has the power to draw them in?
Good question. Good question. Anybody want to jump in?
Hey, Coach, I got a question for Russ.
Sure. Go, George.
Hey
George,
Russ.
George is in
the call. George. Hey there, Russ.
Hey, George.
Hey, so is the commercialization of pornography, like the Hugh Hefner's Playboy, Larry Flint, is that tied into this in any way?
Well, I mean, you're going to see again, it's kind of like popular Satanism of Anton LaVey. They claim they don't do any human sacrifices. I don't know if that's true because I don't trust them. So when you have hedonism, just sex, sex parties, sex exploitation, all the way from the 80s on, I mean, 60s on, I mean, this massive alteration occurs in the 60s. Most people don't realize the second largest proliferation of occult literature was dumped in the 1960s in the United States. First proliferation of occult literature, pre-Nazi Germany. So there's a connection between the spiritual doors that open to the physical degradation. So when you think of drugs, go back to the Doobie Brothers. The Doobie Brothers sang a song.
Jesus just all right with me, brother.
So I went out and bought the album because when I got saved, I burned everything. So I heard this song. I said, oh, Jesus, that sounds really good. You go out and buy I bought the album. You open it up. They're all naked and there's a sex orgy going on. The sexual side is, again, you got to understand the hedonism. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't go further on a public basis and all that kind of stuff. And I remember Playboys from back before I got saved, sneaking to go look at those kind of things. Those are dangerous because of the chemical and emotions that can be brought up and where it will lead some folks. But the fact is, it's extraordinarily light compared to what's out there now.
Yeah. T-Moon, did you want to jump in here? T-Moon, I see you got your – I see you're unmuted. Or did you do that by accident? No?
Hey, Russ.
Yes.
On the finance end of it, financing all of these activities and everything, do you have any inside information on that? Specifically a question of all this money that is being – intercepted from the drug money from South America and Mexico and other places in the world. Where does that money end up at?
El Chapo. You think in terms of the drug lords who are now becoming the sex lords that you're talking about. In some cases, they are now billionaires. In most of the cases of the drug sex lords, they are multimillionaires. They're driven by it. There's a lot of money. People pay thousands and thousands. Think in terms of just so-called escorts at high ritzy hotels. You know, if you think of New York or you think of things you've seen on television, there's people being paid a lot of money. Go back to Vegas, the shooter, which I believe was a program shooter, Haddock. Did you see the prostitute, the highly paid prostitute, thousands of dollars she's been paid? Now, some women and some guys, they make a lot of money. There's people in the porn industry, they make a lot of money. That's part of the motivation. They sell their lives out and sell their souls out because they make money. Now, when the elites are that are trafficking, this is why, you know, the Bible says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. This is why I hate this radical darkness, because drug and sex pimps and the ones lower down the chain, the ones that, you know, put them in the vehicles and, you know, take them to one place and usually sexually abuse them also. You think in terms of, the money, they're doing it for money. They're doing it sometimes for the sexual benefits on their own because they're raping people. Sex traffickers are rapists also, but they make billions. They make millions. It's a multi-million dollar industry. Who's it feed? Let me give one example again. If you go back to Mexico, I bring this up because I've been crying out on the radio for years now about missionaries and people. Mexico has up to 15 million people that are worshipers of Santa Muerte, the saint of death. the skeleton with the brides, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
That's the drug lord's demon of choice. That's an ancient, what most people don't know, it's an ancient Mesoamerican of the Aztecs, a goddess that demands sex, rituals, and human sacrifice. So the ancient demonic god and presence now being worshipped, and millions of Mexicans going to that, turns into sex rituals. That's why you're going to hear about it so much there in Mexico. And the drug lords have the priests and priestesses summoning the powers to draw powers to aid their summoning powers. And we, as believers, we understand this. They are really summoning powers to continue to guard their trade, do their trade. Now here's
the dark side is real, brother. The dark side is real.
It is. And in the ultimate results, Mexico itself did a study on this. Since 2007 to 2017, 164,000 Mexicans are dead. More than both wars in the Middle East. 164,000 dead. Human hearts ripped out, heads cut out. You hear about the drug lords, what they do. What they're realizing, even the feds are realizing, much of this comes from rituals that are done in slaughtering a life,
wow,
drawing powers to aid their sex trafficking and to aid their drug trafficking. We got to understand how horrible one case is. Then we got to understand how big, how vast. And we have to rip out of the dead, suppressed spectatorship. And that's my hope, that there's millions of Americans, believers in Christ, that have been trained in the last 30 years in their churches, that have been dumbed down to be prayerless, powerless, and gospelless in a sense, to go after them, to see them awakened by the God that called them and saved them, and to come out of that carnality, to come out of that Sardis style, you know, once alive and now dead, to come out of that. And that's all we're going to do in 2018. And Dave, that's exactly what you're doing. And that's what we're going to do at the conferences. You know, we could go speak and speak and speak, you know, forget the applause. Let's recruit thousands, get on the street. It doesn't take much. You have to learn. We had to learn the hard way along the way. You just learn along the way. We're going to offer every kind of training, but you got to
awaken those Christian zombies. Russ, we're running short here. Jeff, go ahead. Jump in here, Jeff. Yeah.
Real quick, Russ. Pastor Bill Dunphy, we have just brought in some guys from a sex trafficking group. We did our first training session Saturday morning with them for 4 hours. Some of the things they've said is it's coming local. It's coming to the rural areas, not
everything's just local. Everything's local. Yes.
Yeah. And then the other thing was mentioned, and see if this is true, that sometimes they run into resistance with local law enforcement when they have these leads after they surveilled them and stuff. So Pastor Bill has made the statement that we're taking this training because, like he said, we have been rescued to rescue. So I know some of the people think we're nuts. But we've just started this, and then I'd like to get Pastor Bill to come up to Canton to meet you and discuss this stuff with you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So listen, Russ, what Jeff just said is really, really important. If you read Doug Hageman's book, I can't remember right now. It doesn't matter.
Stained by Blood.
Stained by Blood. He talked about gatekeepers and the police in positions of authority who cover for these guys. You're finding that to be true, aren't you?
It is sadly true. And I was, you know, I'm former law enforcement as a police chaplain, unit number 78. They allowed me to teach in the police academy, actually in the police camp on occult satanic crimes. We've seen a lot there too. And I'll say very frankly, most all the officers I know, we have officers retired and active on our teams. We love officers. We love them. And there's feds that I know that I think are good guys, but I'm going to be frank. They're, you know, just like the mafia had certain, sometimes cops in their pocket, drug lords have cops in their pocket, sex lords, sex pimps. We had a guy here in Akron we wanted to turn in. We wanted him to be caught. He eventually got demoted and I think early retirement. Six or seven victims, girls. Well, this primary detective, yeah, there's some corrupt cops that get money and get, you know, and they get, they you know what they're rewarded with? Sex with kids, sex with teenagers. Mm.
Wicked man. That's why, folks, that's why the scriptures tell us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Now, we can think about those high places being the heavenly, or we can think about those positions being
authorities, evil spirits in high places. And so the enemy is so deeply involved in so many things that we can't be surprised if he does seize control of the FBI, yada, yada, yada. Russ, just as a close, man, we're running out of time here. MK Ultra down there in Florida, what do you think? What do you think about this cruise down there, brother?
My observations of him is a little different than Haddock in Vegas, or even Holmes or Jared in Arizona. I need to look at him a little bit more. First response, his life, anger, rage, lost, all these things. I believe he opened up to the demonic side. I believe he did hear voices. I believe just like Satan entered into Judas,
mm-hmm.
he left the room to go betray Jesus unto death. That's real. Voices can be clearly demonic, guiding, directing, telling, explaining. Same with rapists, serial murderers. You can have, so far I'm looking at this demonic side, guiding, directing him. After the crime's done, after it's all done, where do the demons go? That's when, like with Judas.
They're underground.
They leave the person that opened the doors, they leave them in the dust.
Wow. So, Russ, for the average guy, we got about 4 minutes here, Russ. Here we sit, you know my heart. My heart is boots on the ground, activity. We've got guys listening here from, probably 20 different states. And then we don't even know we get into the downloads and all that stuff afterwards.
Right.
All politics is local, Russ. It's all local. You heard Jeff say it's coming locally. What should be some of the things that we ought to be looking out for to be able to identify some of this stuff?
Well, it's just a matter. Here's what I would say. Put up the prayers. Go do a prayer walk, prayer drop, prayer. Go to some of the places in the weekend. Like in Canton where I live, MS-13 has now showed up here. They're here. Mm-hmm. We're looking for them. We're going downtown. We'll go down to the restaurants. We'll go down to many times victims will tell you. That's one thing. If you can find any victims, they can take you to the places. They can, whether satanic ritual abuse or the sex trafficking, they can take you to some of the places that you can begin to scope out, look at. And I want to say this as believers. Here's the added advantage. Massive prayer in this context. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine, Ephesians 3.
Amen.
Let's bring the hand of God. Let's bring the power of prayer in the context of rescuing
and even
getting rid of perpetrators. Let's bring the hand of God into this. Let's bring his presence and power, his leading in this. But you have to get out. I can go by myself. I've done this, here lately, even down by myself. I'm downtown Canton. I'm looking to some of the areas to see. In restaurant areas, if I can spot human trafficking, if I can see any of, just begin to interact. We did this. We had victims come in from another state last weekend, and at the hotel that we sent them to, I saw what I thought were the trappings of, sex trafficking. I went to the management. I told them who we were. That the regular management knows us. They're trained there on Portage Avenue where the expressway is. And I said, you need to take a look at this crew out here in the front. You need to maybe call law enforcement, take a look at this because, we're dealing with another case, but you need to take a look at this and have somebody come in and see if some trafficking isn't being, going on here.
So Russ, if you see something, what do you do?
You say something, you pray something, and you get in there. You get in there.
Say something, pray something, and get in there. Russ, I got to listen. I live a couple hours from Russ. I got to go to some of these places with you, man. It makes my heart beat fast, and I want to jump in there, and I want to feel the power of God, and I know that shows up right at the right time when he has to. Once we walk through that door of fear, once we break through that door of fear and get on the other side, that's where the power of God shows up. Russ,
absolutely.
Man, God bless you. Hang on here with us after the show's over, Russ, because I know that David wants to talk to you in particular. Folks, this stuff is real. Russ, one final question. The pastor's ignorant or afraid?
Both.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew that.
That's coming from a pastor, and I love him. And I've been, and I know, but both.
Yeah, messing with that devil, man, if you don't know what you're doing, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, I know, and Jesus, I know. But who are you? Right? We know how that is. Thanks, Russ. Hey, God bless you, folks. Have a great weekend. JR is on tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and we'll see you all on Monday.